Thank you, Jesus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Something happens in the room. Our hands go up there.
can't wait to see
what you're gonna do.
Can't wait to see what you are going to do.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, hallelujah. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, family and friends. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, September the 10th, 2023. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by my beautiful Spirit Alive family in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Bishop Lester Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and Pastor Vanessa Carver. We also have in the room with us our watchmen on the wall. We have Lee and Terry Lawson. We have my aunt, my spiritual aunt Nita, hallelujah, my spiritual aunt Linda. So on behalf of all of us up in here this morning, we want to welcome you to this morning's service. And we pray that you will hear something that will not only lift your spirit, but bless your soul. And right now, we are going to go to opening prayer with Evangelist Michelle Scott. Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry you changed it, but it's okay. Well, Father God, we just come to you right now with closed eyes and a bowed head and a humble heart. Oh, Father God, we thank you for touching each one of us with your finger of love and just bringing our eyes open to see a day that we've never seen before. Father God, you're so mighty, and we just thank you for all that you do. Father God, we thank you for all that you plan to do in our lives. Father God, we thank you for our family members and friends and for all of our health and strength. And even though we may have had some loss through the week, Father God, you strengthened us through it all to be able to be a blessing to those who lost loved ones. And we just thank you, Father God. We thank you for the roofs over our heads. We thank you for the portion of food that's in our bellies. Father God, we thank you for the blood that runs through our veins, Lord God. We just thank you so much. And if we had 10,000 tongues, Father God, we wouldn't be able to thank you enough. We thank you for the head shepherd, Sherlyn Cook, Father God, and all that she pours into us, Lord Jesus, and then allow us to go back out into the streets, the byways and the highways, Father God, underpasses and wherever we may go. We thank you for her pouring into us so that we can pour into others. I thank you for every bishop, every pastor, every evangelist, every pastor, every mother, every friend, every family, even a foe, Father God. We thank you for them all tuning in today and just worshiping with us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for them worshiping with us in spirit and in truth. Father God, I ask that you just bless each and every servant leader here and their home from the crown of their head to the soles of their mighty feet, Father God. Make the men of spirit alive and the men all around the world then
yes,
with,
Lord.
With firm spines, Father God. Make their spines so firm that they can just stand in the midst of all of the turmoil that goes on in the world, Father God, and still proclaim you to be their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for the mother of the church, Father God, for a lot of mothers have fallen by the wayside and a lot of them have gone on home. Well, Father God, we thank you for the one that stands at her post, hear our spirit alive. We just thank you so much for loving us. We thank you so much for caring for us. We thank you for being a God of second, third, and fourth, and fifth chances, Father God. You woke us up today that we may be able to achieve things that we didn't achieve on yesterday. So I just thank you right now, Father God, for my spirit alive family. I thank you for my earthly family. I thank you for my heavenly family. And most of all, I just thank you for you, Father God. I thank you for putting me in the midst of a group of individuals who love you wholeheartedly, Father God. Without a doubt. You can see the shine and glow of you within each of them, Father God. And I just thank you so much for being in their company. It's in Jesus' precious name I pray and ask it all. The one who hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross for all of our sins, not just for some, but for all of our sins. And we just thank you so much, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He'll make it all right. God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Whole church, he'll make it all right.
Make it all.
right?
Right.
I know.
He will.
Make it all right.
I know.
Meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the beautiful mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come to us and read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So my brothers and my sisters, please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. And good morning, everyone. I've been all week praying for the courage like Paul had. And the Lord just struck my spirit. I'm sorry, Bishop. Give me just one second. One second, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Our meditational reading for today is entitled, Let the Lord Be Your Defense. We'll be looking at Psalms 94, verse 22. And it reads thus, But the Lord has been my defense, and my God, the rock of my refuge. Now, imagine being a poor widow, a stranger in the land, and holding one of the lowest jobs in society. That was Ruth's situation. So it would have been easy for her to feel vulnerable and defenseless. But because she trusted the Lord, and you can read about that in Ruth 1 and 16, he placed her under Boaz's protection. Boaz, the owner of the field she worked in, commanded his young men, saying, Let her gleam even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. You can read more about that in Ruth 2:15. What he was saying to his men was this, She might be a gleamer, but because I care for her, treat her with respect and make sure she is not put to shame.
Amen.
Boaz is a picture of our Lord Jesus. If you are feeling vulnerable and defenseless right now, imagine Jesus commanding his angel, watch over this one who belongs to me. Make sure he or she is treated with respect and not put to shame because he is someone I love and someone whom I died for. God's word tells us that if God is for us, who can be against us? You can read that in Romans 8:31. No one who has set himself against us can prevail, because when God is for us, his protection is upon us. That's why I have never answered any of the poison email messages which I have received in the course of my ministry, says Pastor Prince. My attitude is this: Jesus is my defense. If he does not defend me, it means that there are things in my life that are not to be defended, and I would be glad to find out about them now rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, because I take the Lord as my defense and he defends me, what can those who are against me do to me? When you defend yourself, if you have only your two hands and your own human resources, but when you let Jesus take up your defense, sends you with his nail-pierced hands and his legions of angels, the result will be amazing. Beloved, the Lord is your defense and refuge. Trust him to defend and protect you. May the Lord add favors and blessings to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thoughts for today: if the Lord is your defense, what can those who are against you do to you? Amen and glory to God.
And glory to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we come together as a family to stand in the gap for our brothers and our sisters all over this world. Hallelujah. Because we know that the trials and the tribulations that we may be suffering, the things that we may be going through, they are not new just for us, but all of God's children are going through something, and we just want you to know that we are standing with you, trusting, expecting, and believing God to move on our behalf, because we know we serve a miracle-working God. We serve a way-making God. We serve a God of abundance. His name is El Shaddai. There is nothing that he can't do. And he said, if we abide in him and he abides in us, we can come on to the throne and ask what we will, and it shall be done. So I'm going to ask that you clear your mind and bow your heart and prepare to go to the throne of grace with God's apostle, the anointed Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just praise God for being in his presence this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everyone that is in the sanctuary, everyone that is listening in today. We thank you for them. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you, Lord, humbly before you, because you are greater than anyone. And we come to you because we put our trust in you and we know what you can do. We ask, Lord, for your forgiveness this morning. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, that we know that we can be free of our sins or anything, Lord, that is displeasing you. So we ask for your help and your guidance in the name of Jesus as you forgive us this morning. In Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. And Father God, we pray this morning. We lift up our government, Lord. We continue to pray for these situations that are continuing to go on, that are affecting people in some of the worst ways. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
All across the world, in the name of Jesus. We pray for leaders everywhere in the government, in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you would move, hallelujah, that you would touch in their lives, that you would change. We pray, Lord, that they will be willing to make that change for the better. For your people, in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, we lift up families that are in crisis. We lift them up to you this morning.
Touch Jesus.
You would move in a special way, that you would move in their home. In the name of Jesus, oh God, that you would touch parents, you would touch children. In the name of Jesus, that you would bring families together, that you would mend relationships. In the name of Jesus, have your way, God. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would protect the families. You have ordained the families. And so we pray, Lord, that you will watch over them, that you will guard over them, that you would protect them, that you would bring each member into their rightful places in the family in the name of Jesus, that you would raise up mothers and fathers in a way that their children will want to honor them, that they will have good reason. And we just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for what you're doing already. Hallelujah. In the realm of the family. But, Lord, we know that there is more to be done. And we're asking, Lord, that you would step in and that you would move in a mighty way. We pray for protection over them in the name of Jesus, over our families. We pray also for marriages. We pray, Lord, that you will mend relationships, Lord, that are broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Those that are married, we pray, Lord, that you would bind them together in love in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, so that their love will be instilled in the family settings and that others will be touched by it in Jesus' name. We pray for our children all over the world in the name of Jesus. Watch over them. Guard over them, Lord. We pray for their protection. Watch over them, and they're going and they're coming to school and home and wherever they may need to go. We pray that you will watch over them in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. And we also pray for the schools. We pray for the staff. Pray for the teachers. We pray that our children will be taught the things that they need to learn and know rather than things that they don't need to know. And we just pray that you will protect them in what is taught to them in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, so that they may grow and have good educations and that they will be strengthened not only in their families but in their communities and in their workplaces as well in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for our cities, our communities that we live in. We pray for the states, all of our states. And we pray, Lord, for divine connection. We pray, Lord, for great relationships. Hallelujah. In these areas. Hallelujah. That we will be able to work out our differences and come to agreement for what is best.
Yes, Lord.
And we can serve better in our communities and our cities.
Yes,
Lord. We pray, Lord, the salvation of souls. We pray, we call in for a harvest of souls in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Salvation. Allow your people to hear, hallelujah, your word, praise God, and to be touched by your word in Jesus' name and to be willing to come to you, to open their hearts to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray for our churches. We pray for our ministries. We pray for broadcasts. We pray all for
Lord.
Of those, hallelujah,
that
are serving you.
Those that are not serving you
in the right way, God, and leading others astray, we pray that you will deal with them, Lord. We pray that you will make a change in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, do it, God. Do it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And then we pray, Lord, for those that are in bondage to sin, for those that are in bondage in jails and juvenile halls, prisons. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for freedom, freedom in the name of Jesus, that their souls can be made free, that they will be free of sin, that they will come to know you and the pardoning of their sins in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will send chaplains in to minister to their needs. We pray, Lord, that you will allow them to be changed where they are in the name of Jesus. So when they are set free and come out of these places, Lord, where they're in bondage, they will be a better person in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, this morning for being our defense because you truly are. Thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. We pray for your strength in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray for your wisdom. We pray for your guidance. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, hallelujah, for your leading, for your guidance. We pray for that in Jesus' name. And Father God, we lift up those that are sick today. We pray for the sick everywhere in Jesus' name. We pray for those that are suffering. We pray, Lord, that you will heal in the name of Jesus. We pray for your healing. Hallelujah. We trust you and we believe and we have expectations. Hallelujah. When we pray. And so we also ask, Lord, for signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Miracles to be wrought in the name of Jesus. You said that we would see these things. Hallelujah. If we believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray. Hallelujah, for your people to believe, to just believe you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, for your work's sake. Hallelujah, for what you have already done, for what you continue to do in our lives, in Jesus' name. We lift up Spirit Alive Ministries today. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for what this ministry stands for. We thank you, Lord, for the things that are happening through this ministry for each of us, Lord.
In
the name of Jesus, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for prayers being answered. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for more than enough. We thank you for the abundance that's been poured. We thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Because you do what you say you're going to do. So we praise you this morning. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We lift up our spiritual leader, our leader of Spirit Alive Ministries. We lift up Apostle Shirlene Cook this morning. We thank you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That you would continue to bless her in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. And if there's any sick among
us,
if they will be touched, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, and that they will be healed in Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
You got to keep your hands open. You got to keep your heart open.
Teach me how to receive every blessing, teach me how to receive every blessing, give me the wisdom to understand how things work together for my good and your plan. Oh, for grace to believe that I will receive every blessing.
Teach me how to receive every blessing.
I want to receive
every blessing.
Teach me,
how
right now. The patience to abide in your will ain't just for nothing. Your living word will fulfill. Oh, for grace to believe that I will receive.
to God. It is now time for this morning's message. So please retrieve your Bibles if you have not already done so. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 23. And today we will be looking at verses 12 through 35. Verses 12 through 35 in the book of Acts. But before I begin, I'd like to first give honor to God, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, yes, to the beautiful saints here and the servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, and to you, God's elect, hallelujah. We are so glad you're here this morning, and we just pray that you will hear something within this teaching that will bless you. Before I also begin, I'm going to go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right into it, hallelujah. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you, Lord God, would completely empty me and allow your Holy Spirit to stand up in me and speak, Lord God, to directly to the hearts of your people. Speak, Lord God, in a way that they will actually hear your word and be able to receive your word, Lord, and apply your word to their life each and every day, not just when people are looking, Father God, not just on Sunday, Father God. I pray in the name of Jesus that this teaching will disciple someone, encourage someone's heart, Father God, so that they might have their hope renewed or they might be lifted up. Lord, I pray right now for the lost. If they don't know you today and the pardon of their sins, I pray that this would be the day, oh God, that they would make your son Jesus their Lord and their Savior. And Lord, I pray all of this in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, we are continuing on in our transformational journey through the book of Acts. We are looking at the church of Acts and the Apostle Paul. Glory to God.
Yes. Amen.
And today, like I said, today it's going to be, it is not going to be any different. But I just love the book of Acts, and I love teaching the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Now, today, saints, I'm going to put your focus on something that I pray that gets down in your spirit and truly blesses your soul. Now, one of the things we hear a lot about, because we are, you know, coming up on another election time, you know, and all every time we have an election, we're going to hear something about health care coverage. Mm-hmm. Now, some say that the government should guarantee health coverage for every citizen in the United States. And others say that every employer should be required to provide health coverage for all employees. Now, there are several solutions offered as to how to come up with this money, and none of which I'm going to care to, nor will I be going into today, because if we were going to take a poll up in here today on how well we're covered by insurance companies, we would probably get a whole range of stories. Now, there are many different kinds of coverage plans, and there are many different kinds of premiums to pay, and most of them seem much, much higher than they should be. But no matter what kind of insurance we get, family, whether it be health insurance, life insurance, accident insurance, home insurance, auto insurance, I don't care, we can't really find protection through them from the future. Oh, now, we might get enough coverage to pay a few bills if something bad happens, but we need to remember that insurance can never prevent those bad things from happening. Mm. Now, for those of us who know and trust the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, we know the guarantees that God gives to those who are on his family plan. Hallelujah. He says, I'll always be with you. Nothing can get to you without going through me first. He says, I've got you covered. Just put your trust in me. And that's the main focus of our teaching today. God's got us covered. God has us covered. Because somebody here today, somebody that's going to be within the sound of my voice, nearly needs to hear that no matter how hard old flathead Satan fights against us, God will take care of us if only we trust in him. I came to tell you this morning that God has us covered all day, every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, throughout eternity. You see, family, when we're on God's kingdom health plan, we can be sure that God has us covered. So now, I want us to look at three realities that expose our enemy, but yet assures us of God's care. The first part we're going to look at is we need to know, yes, somebody is out to get you. The word of God says in verse 3 to 5 and 8, for the devil, your adversary, the devil, roams around like a lion, devouring who he may. So we already know who the enemy is, but let's see how it bears out in Acts 23:12-15. The word of God says, the next morning, the Jews formed a conspiracy, a conspiracy, and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and the elders and said, we have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets here. Now, the main problem, of course, the main problem with this is that the motivation of the vow was just completely all wrong. Just wrong. Now, there's no doubt that many of them thought they were being pious and defending the honor of God of Israel, just like Paul himself once thought he had been defending God's honor by persecuting Christians. Mm-hmm. But James wrote that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And James 1:20, for man, because that's what it says. It says, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. There is such a thing as righteous indignation. But please don't ever confuse your temper with God's righteousness. It is not the anger of God that motivates us, but beloved, it's the love of Christ that compels us. Now, obviously, Paul's opponents did not understand. You know, they didn't understand this. They thought they could take matters into their own hands and put a stop to anyone who appeared to threaten the Jewish religion and tradition. So, of course, Paul became public enemy number one to many of the Jews. There were many Jewish revolutionaries during this time called zealots who thought they were justified in using force to accomplish what they thought was God's will. And apparently they approached the high priest and the elders with their plot against Paul. The high priest and his Sadducees groupies were more than happy to go along with such a plan. Well, as we discussed a few weeks ago, we also have, you know, we have an enemy that wants to take us out. He wants to do more than just give us a bad day, you know. He wants to do more than just give us a bad week. No, he wants to kill us. Like I said, that enemy is Satan and all of his minions. If he had the power, he would just go ahead and wipe out the whole entire human race just to strike a blow at Father God, the one who made us and loves us far more than we deserve. But please understand today that nobody is exempt. You know, we all have the same enemy who is out to get us. Now, am I trying to make us paranoid? No. I'm trying to make us aware that we are at war, whether we want to be or not. We have an enemy who is trying to attack our mind, our body, and our very soul. We have an enemy who is trying to take us out. He will try to confuse us, distract us, discourage us, and even make us angry at God for the things that happen to
preach,
us.
Honey. Preach, honey.
Why? Because he knows that if he can get our eyes, just get our eyes off the Lord. Or at least make us angry at him, then that'll give him a greater opportunity to take us out. Because, see, if he can isolate us from God and from other believers, he knows he can get to us whenever he wants to. So what can we possibly do to stand against this ancient, intimidating foe? That answer is so bad that we can spend the next several months just preaching and teaching about it, because more books are written on about spiritual warfare and overcoming the enemy than any of us can read in an entire lifetime.
Amen.
Listen, we can read all the books we want as long as we never forget that it is because of Jesus and what he did for us on that cross that we can overcome this enemy who is out to get us.
Amen.
Which leads us to our second point of teaching for today. You know, we can be bold enough to resist the enemy. Yes, we can. Let's look at verses 16 through 22. But when the son of Paul's sisters heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the commander. He has something to tell him." So he took him to the commander. The centurion said, "Paul, the prisoner, sent for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you." The commander took the young man by the hand, drew him aside and asked, "What is it you want to tell me?" He said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about him. Don't give in to them, because more than 40 of them are waiting to ambush for him. They have taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent to their request." The commander dismissed the young man and cautioned him, "Don't tell anyone that you have reported this to me." The word of God tells us that God often uses the weak or the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. In this case, God uses Paul's nephew, who may not even have been a teenager yet. Otherwise, birth 19 would make little sense when the commander took him by the hand. Only children would need to be led by the hand, not kings or grown-ups. God used this boy to bring about Paul's deliverance from certain death. If God can use a child to stop the plan of the enemy, what makes you think he can't use you? There was probably nothing spectacular about this child. He just cared enough about his Uncle Paul to try to do something to help. Listen, there's nothing spectacular about us, at least not when it comes to fighting the enemy. However, if we care enough to just let God use it, guess what? He will do just that. Oh, and by the way, fear is not the proper response to Satan. Jesus said in Luke 12:4-5, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing of the body, has the power to throw you into hell." Yes, I tell you, fear him. Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father, which is only used by his children, not slaves.
Yeah.
Okay. You see, God can give us boldness when we face attack from the enemy, Satan, and all of his forces, that is. Because James 4:7 says, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Like I said, 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And then it goes on to tell us again, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Ha!
Yeah.
Now, in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 6:15-17, there it is. The prophet Elijah and his servant woke up one morning to find themselves completely surrounded by an army of soldiers with horses and chariots. Now, the servant was terrified and said, what shall we do? Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are more with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, oh, Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Ah. Now,
Glory.
We need to know,
Glory.
And just face the fact, that ultimately, we, in and of ourselves, in our own little puny powers and strengths, could never win against the powerful enemy like Satan by ourselves. You see, we need help from God above. And the good news is that help is available. The battle is the Lord. It does not belong to us. But however now, come on now, I'm thinking, oh, wait, hold on. However, he will ask us to stand up and do what he tells us to do. Not what we're comfortable in doing. Not anything that we've been told by another human being to do, but what he tells us to do. Because our part in all of this is to trust and obey him and to resist the enemy. He's already defeated the enemy. So we just need to walk into victory. And Paul's life reaffirms this truth. We can be bold enough to resist the enemy because God has us covered. He will take care of us if we trust in him. Now, I want us to look at these final verses and my final point for today. You know, you need to know that the Lord takes care of those who trust in him. Verses 23-35. Word of God reads, then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Provide mounts for Paul so that he may be taken safely to the governor Felix. He wrote a letter as follows, Claudius Lysias to the Excellency Governor Felix. Greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and they were about to kill him. But I came with my troop to rescue him. For I had learned that he is a Roman citizen. I wanted to know why they were accusing him. So I brought him to their Sanhedrin. I found that the accusation had to do with questions about their law. But there was no charge against him that deserved death or imprisonment. So when I was informed of the plot to be carried out against this man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against him. So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. The next day, they left the cavalry going with them while they returned to the barracks. Now, when the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Caesarea, he said, I will hear your case when your accusers get here. Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. Now, we know that Paul had heard the Lord in verse 11 and knew that one way or another he would be going to Rome. So he knew that the Lord would take care of him in this situation. He was able to be bold and confident as God worked out the details of his rescue. In fact, in the last 24 verses of this chapter, all we hear from Paul is a one-liner. In verse 17, he is not worrying or fretting or trying to talk his way out of the problem. No, all he's doing is trusting in the one who is able to protect him and keep him from harm. As we walk with the Lord, we can gain that same sense of peace and trust. The Lord can and will lead us in such a way that we won't need to worry. We won't be sitting around fretting. Oh, hallelujah. We will, when we have a sense that of what he's up to, we all we have to do is fall in line, fall in line, fall in line.
Yeah.
And we can trust that he will see us through to accomplish his will in and through our lives. We don't have to question. Hallelujah. We don't have to be like, you know, when you're in, and sometimes you go to a pool before you just jump right in, you just want to stick your toe in and test the water. We don't need to be testing no waters with Father God. Everything he does for us is good.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
Now, and when I say that, you know, I also want us to know I'm not talking about us being careless. You know, I'm not talking about us just throwing all caution to the wind when I say that we don't need to worry or fret. You know, what I'm talking about is being able to lay aside that worry, lay aside that fear, and allow God to take care of those things which we have no control.
Glory.
See what I'm saying? If we need rescue, guess what? God has us covered. He will do it. If we need to go through some difficult times, God got us covered because he will help us, he will be with us, and so therefore we will make it through it. Every storm that we go through, we have to remember Jesus is in the boat with us. Okay?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You see, our God can be trusted.
Yeah.
So don't be walking around allowing yourself to get high blood pressure and heart problems or ulcers from worrying about the future. God is as good as his word. His word is good, and he is as good as his word. And his word says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. Whose thoughts are fixed on you. That's Isaiah 26:3. Oh, I'm getting excited. Let me slow down. I'm trying to, okay, I'd be tripped over my tongue. But now.
Glory. Go on, girl.
I have a question for you today as we close. How are you? Yeah. How are you? Do you ever have a sense that somebody is fighting against you? Do you feel like somebody has been trying to beat you up and then beat you back down and take all the joy out of your life? Well, if so, at least you're in touch with reality, because even a paranoid schizophrenic has it partly right. Somebody really is out to get them.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for God's grace, we'd all be toast. But instead of being fearful, we can be bold enough to stand up against the enemy. We don't need to try to hide. Nor should we ever just give in. But look here, we don't need to go pick no fights with him either.
That's
okay.
Right.
We can't glory
right.
in the Lord. You know, we understand that God is with us. We understand he our daddy and he don't play. But now, we can't be standing behind the Father going, nah, 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 nah.
Amen.
Because our God don't play like that. He's not a child. He's Almighty God.
That's right. That's right. He's
you know,
great God.
He's a great I am. We don't be playing about that.
Yeah.
Now, if we are trusting in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of our sins, we should be trusting in Christ, hallelujah, with our everyday lives. We should be trusting him with our everything, our all and all. We should be trusting him for protection, for safety, for deliverance. Now, maybe there's someone here today who has not yet put their trust in Jesus to forgive them of their sin. If you have not heard the good news about Jesus, please let me tell you about him. He is the Son of the one true God who created us. He came to this earth as a man and lived among us for 33 years, and he gave up his own life as our propitiation or substitute of our lives, his perfect life in exchange for our messed up ones, for our messed up, jacked up, sin-filled lives. He exchanged his perfect life. And he said that whoever puts their trust in him will be forgiven of their sins and will live a new life that comes from him, and it will last forever. You see, I can tell you truthfully today, Jesus loves you. And his and our dad, Father God, has a kingdom health care plan where the benefits are out of this world, beloved. Saints, there's no forms to fill out. You just have to repent of your sins and make Jesus your only doctor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's no fitness. I don't mean when it comes to real physical stuff. I'm talking about spiritual stuff. See, so there, and because I'm talking about spiritual stuff, there's no physical of any kind. You know why? Because your faith, trust, and well-being are now in the hands of Jehovah Rapha, the great physician. It is in King, your everything, your all in all is in King Jesus. And you need to know, I keep it real with everybody. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't sugarcoat anything because that's not really going to bless you. Because you need to know that from the moment you decide to live for Jesus, the enemy will go after you like never before. But I came to tell somebody this morning that when the enemy is coming after you, all you have to do is speak the name of Jesus. And child, just back up, just stand back, and watch God show up and show out when you trust him high, when you know that he will do everything that he says he will do. Beloved, when we seek God's presence and earnestly pray, I'm talking about earnestly pray, fervently pray. Our Father's kingdom health care plan will never lapse, will never falter, nor will it ever fail. He'll always have us covered. When trouble or heartache comes, we need to know that God will make it all right. Why? Because he's able. Why? Because he's sovereign. Why? Because he got us covered. You see, insurance companies may have their slogans, but oh, hallelujah and glory to God, in Christ, we have an eternal history. God is always the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You see, Allstate wants us to believe that with them we are in good hands. But glory to God, we are in the hands of the one who created us. And you can't get any better than that. And oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You know us best. And you love us most. And check this out. You are omnipotent. You are omnipresent. And you are omniscient. Therefore, you don't miss a thing when it comes to your kids. Amen. You see, Blue Cross may have his shield, but oh, hallelujah, God is our shelter. We are covered by his grace.
Yes.
We are covered by his sovereignty,
yes.
Covered by his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes.
We are covered by his love and by his blood, making us covered from every hurt, every harm, danger, calamity, or mayhem known to man,
yes.
Past, present, and oh, hallelujah, future. Now, that's something that Aetna, Anthem, Colonial Penn, Humana, Liberty Mutual, Progressive, State Farm, or WellCare can't do. They can't do it.
Yeah.
Not now, not ever.
Not ever.
Somebody needs to hear today that Father God had us in mind before the foundation of the world. He had us in mind when he sent his only begotten son to die so that we could live. And the blood of Jesus covers us and it seals us in the love of God for all time. And I truly believe that so many Christians don't live the abundant life simply because you have not learned how to truly receive from God.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't know how to receive from God, ask him. You know, some of us are, you know, we have received Christ, but we act like we haven't been forgiven. We say we have Christ, but we act as though we don't have God in us, with us, and for us. We say we have Christ, but some of us feel like we're not, you know, we still acting like we're not worthy of God's love and all of his blessings.
Yes.
God has so many blessings, so many gifts that he wants to share with us. We just have to learn how to receive them. We have to know. It doesn't matter the situation or the circumstance. Our God has us covered. And if you never received the love, God's love, I beseech you, I implore you, please, please do it today. And I hope we have all come to a deeper understanding of just how much God has us covered. You see, we belong to him, and he takes care of his own. So what we all need to be doing is truly recommitting ourselves to fully learning how to lean and trust and depend on him with every area of our lives. Some of us need to commit today to allowing God, hallelujah, to teach us how to receive every blessing so we really won't be walking around feeling like we're still lacking as a child of God. That don't even go together. The word of God, that Jesus the Logos says, in Christ we lack nothing. God has us covered. And it don't matter what's going on. It can be physical. God's got us covered. It can be mental.
Amen.
God's got us covered. Why? Because he renews our mind with that word. Hallelujah, so that we might know what his good and perfect will is for our lives. God does not dispense depression, disease, discouragement, downtroddenness. You see?
Amen.
That's not from him.
That
see,
comes from a different
his insurance plan protects us from all of that. Hallelujah. So I pray today that somebody truly was blessed by something in this word, because I love this word in action. Right now, I just want to praise God, and I pray what we're going to do at this time is I want you to start thinking about, if you don't know Jesus, you know, because we don't want you to be all emotional and that your emotions, you know, have you saying you're saying, no, we want you to think about it for a minute. Think about what you heard me say today. Think about the goodness of God that was revealed to you today. And then, and in a moment, I will have Minister Tina Brown come, and she is going to extend an invitation. But before I do that, I'm going to ask God's, hallelujah, pastor and intercessor and prophet, hallelujah, she's well gifted, Pastor Vanessa Carver, to come in, and I want her to pray for this message, fill this message with prayer according to the Holy Spirit working through her. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook, for the message. It's a perfect message as it pertains to us walking in our authority and knowing that wherever we are, we're not just covered and there's an expectation of walking in that covering. So I'm going to pray for you. I thank you, Lord, today for the vessel you've used, Lord, to pour into us. I pray, Lord, that you strengthen Apostle Cook. I pray, Lord, that you begin to refresh her and energize her for the rest of the week, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, today that the prayers that this lesson, before she even prayed it, that they be honored. I know she prays when she prepares, and I thank you, Lord, today for that and your power and your might and for the vessel that you've used her to be today. I thank you, Lord, today that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I thank you, Lord, today that it cuts where it needs to cut, cutting away all the excess in our life so that we'll be able to receive this word with simplicity, that we won't overcomplicate what you've spoken to us as it pertains to covering, that you speak to us individually about what it is like or what it means to be covered by you and what it looks like in our everyday life, in our families, in our ministries, in our neighborhoods or wherever we may be. I thank you, Lord, today that you speak to us from that place collectively about what it means to be a covered people, that we are to be light in the world, in the place where there's darkness. We're to be in the world and not of it, but also to be the salt and the light and the city on the hill and what that looks like, and that we don't hide our light under a bushel, and that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I just thank you, Father God, today for this word, that it will become fruitful in the lives of those who have ears to hear and accept what you have said, and that you continue, Lord, as we meditate on the meat of this word so that we can grow and be developed in areas where we're not. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, I praise
Thank
God
you.
For the hands that are raised in the room. I do see you, and we are going to get to your praise and worship right after we have Minister Tina Brown come and to extend an invitation into to a relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. And so then we will have the praise from the sanctuary. That will be followed by the mighty man of God, Bishop Lester Carver, because he always brings a timely word for our brothers. So at this time, Minister Tina, come on in the room, dear.
Good morning, saints of God. What a beautiful message Apostle Cook gave us about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and how he is here for us. If you heard something in that message that touched your heart and soul, and you want to walk with Christ, all you have to do is follow this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I ask and repent of my sins to you. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is your son and that he died on the cross at Calvary so that I might be forgiven of my sins and have eternal life. In the kingdom of heaven for our Father, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And he rose from the dead after he died on Calvary for us and our sins.
Yes.
I ask, Lord Jesus, that you come into my heart, that you make me your Lord and Savior. Once again, I repent of my sins. And I will worship you, Lord, all the days of my life. Your word is truth. I confess again with my mouth. I am born again and cleansed with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen and amen.
Amen and glory to God. And if you prayed that prayer in any simple form or way, we just want to say welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah. We pray that you will find a body of believers who truly love the Lord, that are Jesus, just have the love of Christ in their hearts, that will be nurturers and decide that they will engage you in discipleship. You ought to study to show yourselves approved. And the way you begin that is simply by asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the things of God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray right now because I know that some yokes were broken. I know that some souls were won. I know that somebody wants to return to you right now, Lord God. I praise you, Father God, for all that you are doing through this ministry and the people of this ministry. I praise you, Father God, that you are adding to it daily. And I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty servants that you have sent to walk together as a family. We are multicultural. We are multigenerational, Father God. We just want everybody to know you, Lord. We don't care who gets the credit as long as you get the honor and the glory and the praise, Lord God, because we can't get them into the kingdom. We can't throw them into hell. Only you can do that, Lord. So we want them to look to you in all things, to learn of all your ways, and to serve you all of their days. In Jesus' holy and righteous name we do pray. Amen and amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. God is good. The Holy Spirit is working it out. At this time, we're going to take some praise from the sanctuary. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. I know area code 559-5073 has had her hand up for a second. Come on in the room and give God praise.
Amen.
Area code 559-5073. Would you like to have a word? Is your phone on mute? Hallelujah. I ain't worried about perfect. I'm worried about the Lord getting the praise. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll come back. Hallelujah. All right, area code 914, last four digits of your phone number 3055. Would you like to have the word of praise? Hello, Izzy. They just raised. Well, praise the Lord. They were just shouting. Hallelujah. That's all right, then. Hallelujah. Well, man of God, that means you are on. Come on in the room. Take your time because you have plenty of it. Amen.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Brooke. So we have plenty of time today, and the word for the man is pretty direct. It is pretty absolute. It is sure. And the word today has to do with us being focused as men. Because, see, the devil seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. He seeks to steal our fruit. And he wants to steal our fruit because he does not desire for us to live a fruitful Christian life. Because that means we're operating in power. When we operate in power, we're using the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within our life to produce signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth and to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in all that we do so that we can experience good success. So if he can stop us from operating in absolute power, from embracing the power of God, and get us to settle for pleasing men and serving money, leaning to our own understanding and operating out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities, that looks godly. It looks righteous, but it's dead. It's without power. God is asking us to embrace full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit by serving him alone, by pleasing him. And so when we serve God and not money, we are doing what God is asking us to do. When we please God and not money, we are doing what God is asking us to do. When we trust God instead of leaning to our own understanding, we are doing what God is asking us to do. And when we walk out of the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within our life, we are embracing the power of God, we're going beyond having a form of godliness and looking like we're doing what God is asking us to do. And we're actually doing what God is asking us to do by embracing the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to go to the word about this so that we don't have any questions thinking, oh, yeah, this guy Carver's just saying things that sound good. I'm telling you the truth. You need to hear the truth so that the devil doesn't steal your fruit, because his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can talk you out of not using the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within your life, he can steal your fruit. because when you don't use the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will have an unfruitful spiritual walk. You will have a form of godliness that denies the power of that godliness. And God is saying, I want you to embrace this power. I want you to walk out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit so that you can produce signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth so that people will be drawn to me. See, so many people think that God is trying to get them into heaven when actually God's trying to get heaven out of them. And when you understand what God is doing, then you can be in league with God. You can be in agreement with God. And so then the devil doesn't steal your fruit. And you know the reason why the devil wants to steal your fruit? If he can talk you out of using the power, then you won't produce any fruit. And the reason he doesn't want you to produce any fruit is because within that fruit is seed. And see, seed is where the be fruitful and multiply comes from, right? When you operate the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within your life spiritually, then you're going to produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control in your life. And after you produce that fruit, the overflow from that fruit is going to sow into others. And other people are going to be receiving your love, your joy, your peace, your gentleness, your meekness, your kindness, your patience, your faithfulness, and your self-control. And the seed from your fruit is going to multiply into their life because they're going to see how to live a fruitful Christian life, and then they're going to copy your example. They're going to do what we're doing in copying Jesus Christ's example. So when and that's the reason why the devil wants to steal your fruit. He wants to kill the seed, because if he kills the seed, that multiplication, that fruitful multiplication of your fruitfulness, then he can destroy your eternal reward. See, the reward you don't receive will be because of the power you didn't operate, because of the fruit you didn't produce in your life, because of the seed that didn't get sown into the lives of others. And now you have no eternal reward, and you'll be among those in heaven with no reward. See, there are going to be three groups of people in eternity. There are going to be people with no reward. These are people who had a form of godliness, denied the power thereof, and they were just doing good to get saved, be saved, get into heaven, da-da-da-da-da. And that's not a bad thing. We want everybody to go to heaven. But what God is asking for is your obedience. Now, he's saying, please me, serve me, trust me, obey me now. And now when we do that, our life is going to be fruitful. We're going to be producing seed. The devil's not going to steal our seed. And then our reward is not going to be destroyed. And so his desire to steal our fruit, to kill our seed, and to destroy our eternal rewards is going to affect us into eternity based on what we do or do not do. So that going into eternity, God's desire is that we're not among those with no reward. We're not among those with a partial reward, which is better than no reward. But we're among those with a full reward because we actively sought to please God instead of pleasing people. We actively sought to serve God instead of serving money. We actively sought to trust God instead of leaning to our own understanding. And we actively sought to operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit instead of operating out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. So I'm going to leave you with these two verses. One is Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. The other scripture I'd like for you to pay attention to is here in Matthew 4:10, where Jesus Christ is speaking. It says, then Jesus saith unto him, he's speaking to the devil, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And this is when the devil was trying to get Jesus Christ to bow down to him, and he said, I will give you the kingdoms of the earth. And you know why the devil had them? Because Adam gave them to him legally when he sinned against God. And Jesus Christ said, no. He said, I'm not going to bow down to you, Satan, because it is written, thou shalt worship only the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's the only one we serve is God. in the name of his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
By making God's son, Jesus Christ, our master, we're serving God, and we have full access to the throne at all times. So I want to encourage you to be confident in what you do for God. Do not let the devil steal your fruit. Don't let him kill your seed. Don't let him destroy your reward, because God has something great in store for you. This is the word for the men today, and I hope you're blessed.
Hallelujah. Thank you, man of God. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Well, I just pray that everybody has had a beautiful time today. As I unmute everyone sitting in the sanctuary, as we prepare to leave, we just want you to continue to follow us here at Spirit Alive. Hallelujah. Tomorrow you can hear our wonderful bishop and Pastor Carver. They will be having their discipleship class entitled God's Great Love for Us. So, and then Bishop will be back on Tuesday to take command of the airwaves in the name of Jesus with his Tuesday night teachings. This Wednesday, hallelujah, Apostle Zeta Flowers will come to us with her All Nations Bible study. And then on Thursday, we will have, once again, Pastor Vanessa, and she has been teaching a very prolific and very dynamic series concerning mental health. So, and then Friday, we have, once again, our bishop coming in as every man standing in his place. And on Saturday, we have the summit. So here at Spirit Alive, we try to have something for everyone. So we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, and that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Now, may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. We pray that you go in peace, go with God, and remember, God loves you, and so do we. God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. Everyone that is sitting in the studio, your microphones are unmuted. I want to thank everybody for coming. I love you so much. I see you 914. I see you 559. I see you 916. Hallelujah. I see you, family. I see you, family. I see you. I love you so much, everybody. I see you, Lee and Terry, of course. Everybody, have a great day.
Have a
God
day.
Bless you all.
Bless you guys.
God bless you all.
You.
I love you.
Love
bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. God bless you.
Everybody have a great week.